I think we ought to do it. In the first place, this goes back to Kenny O'Donnell and that bunch that was over there trying to place contracts with some political benefit, I think, in the earlier period, because Lockheed did go to Kenny and get some names of districts in which they which the White House would like to see plants placed, I'm told. I'm getting all this from Lockheed people, and I'm taking it over the phone, and I can't swear that what they tell me is correct, but this is what I believe to be the case, and one of them told me that was what happened. But on this particular case, these are the points that could be made, and I think could stand up were Lockheed, for example, to make them to Don Oberdorf, who wrote that story. First, for several years, Lockheed's been experimenting with feeder plants to relieve the pressure of new contract awards and sudden additions to their work volume on their existing plants. Secondly, following this practice of experimentation with feeder plants, in 1961, in connection with the award of the C-141 aircraft contract, a new transport which we're presently using, which was awarded around 1961, they established a small plant in Clarksburg, West Virginia. I think it had around 200 employees in it, and that was, I'm told, in the district of Archmore, a Republican. In 1963, they put a small plant in McAlester, Oklahoma, and that's in Carl Albert's district. Thirdly, their experience with these small plants indicates that, assuming they can get a reasonably steady flow of work through them, the costs in the small plants are less than in their big plants. This because they take advantage of lower price labor and labor in areas where there's unemployment and where they're more anxious to work hard. Fourthly, at a time they planned the C-5 aircraft proposal to the Defense Department, they anticipated that their Marietta, Georgia plant in which they would build the plane would be so filled with work, including the C-141 work, that they couldn't take all of the C-5 work into that plant, and therefore they would have to look to the possibility of using other plants, which they didn't then own. Now, frankly, since that time, Mr. President, I think the situation changed a little, but anyhow, that's the basis on which some of these other decisions were made. And they believed they could meet their objective of using other plants, smaller plants, to supplement the Marietta, Georgia plant at the lowest cost to themselves and with some benefit to our nation if they looked at distressed areas. And they went to Commerce, Commerce Department, and talked to them about Appalachia, which they had heard of as a depressed area, and Commerce gave them a lot of information on it, indicating the depressed conditions, the amount of unemployment, the labor supply available, the skills that might be available, and so on. They then went to the White House and were asked for a list of locations in the Appalachian area that the White House might be particularly interested in seeing receive some form of economic assistance. They then hired a New York consulting firm, which they believed to have been Booz Allen and Hamilton, to take a list of some 66 localities, including the names supplied by the White House, and examine those from the point of view of the most efficient operations for Lockheed. And from that list of 66, they say that Booz Allen picked 8. And out of the 8, after examining them, and they are inclined to believe all 8 were in the districts of these 4 congressmen, from the 8, they picked 4. And not until that point were the congressmen even told their districts were being considered. Now, this is the story they say. I pieced it together from a guy that was in a motel in Los Angeles, and I awakened him, and his memory may be poor, and I talked to the Lockheed representative here in Washington, and he's just trying to fill me full of crap, and what he told me may prove erroneous. And I talked to Dan Haughton, the chairman of Lockheed out in Dayton, and he was very, very open and told me everything he knew, and I'm sure I got the truth from him, but he didn't know a lot about this. And I talked to our own people about it, and out of all this came this story. Now, my suggestion, Mr. President, is that the White House say nothing, the Defense Department say nothing, and that I get the Lockheed Washington representative, whose name is Vernon Johnson, and have him call Don Oberdorfer, who put the story out in the first place, and tell Oberdorfer he has the wrong information, and the information is as I've just outlined it to you. Now, I haven't yet gone over all this with the Washington representative, because he's the fellow who's trying to kid me as to what went on. But this is what I pieced together, and I think I could, in effect, give it to him, and assuming he was willing to put it out, I would suggest we do it that way.
Well, the facts, I don't know where Ken comes in, I don't see how he's in this.
Well, he's out of entirely from any statement to Oberdorfer. I just want you to know that this was Lockheed's practice.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what I gather from here is Henry now shows me a memo, a list of names that he got from Appalachia, which has all Democrats except one or two, and they have one or two Republicans. He took from that list of Appalachia 10 or 15. He thinks he sent that list down to Marvin Watson. Marvin Watson cannot find it, has no memory of it, does not know that he got it. He remembers the guy talking to him when he sent him to Henry, but he doesn't remember anything else. So he is trying to go through all of his files to see if he ever got a telephone call or what he did with this memo. He cannot even find Henry's memo, which is 10 or 15 names. Now, Henry knows Oberdorfer. We checked that. They're big buddies. They're friends. They were tied in with the same kind of crusade down in North Carolina. Oberdorfer was in to see him last week. He says Oberdorfer never mentioned this to him. Oberdorfer told George Christian at midnight last night that he couldn't find who did it in the White House, and he guessed no one would admit it. He didn't know what to do about it. George said, well, I wasn't here in 65, so I don't know. Henry says that we oughtn't to touch Oberdorfer because that he's a very pure fella, but he will just really murder us if he finds out the White House did this and the White House did do it. Now, that's Henry's set up. So I think maybe we ought to see if we can find what did this Lockheed representative tell you here? What did he say?
Well, he tried to imply that there wasn't any, they never touched it on a political basis and so on, and I know damn well it did. And he implied they didn't go to the White House at all. But I finally, and he wouldn't let me get in touch with the name of their man who actually did the contacting. But I finally got his name, and he was the one I found in the Sportsman's Lodge Motel in North Hollywood, a man named Bendorf, and it is Bendorf himself who contacted the White House.
Yeah, and what did Bendorf say? Now, he is the key. He's the one that they know.
Right. That's right. Well,
now, Bendorf, what does he say?
The story that I gave you essentially all came from Bendorf and was checked to the extent Dan Houghton knew about it with Dan Houghton. And Bendorf turns out to have been a fellow that went to high school with me. I can't remember him, but he said we went to high school together, and he opened up in part because of that. And he was Pat Brown's deputy finance director, and he seemed to be a reasonably nice guy. And
they all say that he is nice, and
his files are back here, of course, and he's in North Hollywood this morning, so and I awakened him, and he gave me all this from memory. But he swears that they got Booz Allen in here to go over this list. He swears that he went to Commerce before he went to the White House. And he swears that they have had experience that shows, first, that they don't have the space or didn't have the space in Marietta. They did have to go outside. That they do have the experience that shows the outside plants are cheaper. There's no penalty to the government. And that in this instance, there was no political influence in choice of location in relation to these particular congressmen. That it was the Booz Allen process of selection that led to the ultimate selection of these four. Now, he did get names from the White House. He doesn't know how many. He doesn't know how many of the names he got from the White House were actually on the list that Booz Allen worked on. He doesn't know whether the list that Booz Allen worked on had the names of anti-administration Democrats or Republicans on it.
Well, that's what we ought to find
that's
out.
Right.
When's he going to get back here?
He's not coming back until Monday morning. Now, I can get Johnson to go down to the office and poke around, but I don't think I'll get too much out of that.
I would make him do that and see if he can't show that they had Republicans as well as Democrats. I'd certainly point out that they had located at Archmore's district.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would point up any other place they located. I believe Marietta's now is where the Republican, it's a Republican district, but that's lately. It was Weltner's district.
Yeah. Russell has been so active in that, I can't obscure that.
No, but if it's a Republican congressman, they're not hurt.
Yeah.
I think if this is back 61, it's not good either, but and it shows that they were putting it in in the state because of unemployment. I scaled. I think that's pretty good.
Can't you
make that guy go look in your record and see what that is? It seems to me that if we could find one Republican, now there was a Republican on the list that Henry got from Commerce as being in the Appalachia area. And I'm just hoping that the list that Booz Allen had was Booz Allen, that they had an area or had some Republican. That's the vulnerable part as I see it. That's what Abe says is bad, that the Defense Department has placed contract. The White House is first place they ought to have been allowed to talk to the White House. I've told them 4,000 times. I wish you'd put out another memo again today. Say the President's distressed again and says anybody ever calls the White House about any contract, the answer is tell them nothing, tell them to go to hell and report it to me. I just don't want this. I've known that they would lay it on me always. They tried to in Billy Saul, and they tried to TFX, you remember.
Yeah.
And they'll do this. And the press, like these foundations. You see the CIA story on foundations this morning, Texas Foundation?
Oh.
And neither one of those. See, all of them were founded before I ever came in here, ever heard of them, and I didn't know about one of them. Not one. I've looked at the record here on the people present at these meetings. I just looked at it, and it's a not very good supervision, Mr. McNamara. Your people ought to look at it, though. Shows February the 14th, Mr. McNamara, Gilpatrick, Bold, Bundy, Dulles, Cavill, and Bissell. February the 14th, 61. That's where you first went into the significant projects. In August 61, Youth and Student Organizations. And present were Taylor, Alexis Johnson, Dulles, and Lansdale. December 63 were Bundy, Johnson, Gilpatrick, McCone, Gordon and Stotts, Budget, Hanson, and Emery. Present were Helms, Meyer, Clark, and Hines. October 64, an oral presentation at the request of Bundy. He made it September the 10th. They presented October the 30th. Present were Bundy, Thompson, Vance, McCone, and Meyer. December 3rd, 64, were Bundy, Thompson, McNaughton, and McCone. And there's been none since December 3rd, 64. Now, of course, I never heard of it. I'm going to be responsible for all of it. I think if we're going to have these communist meetings and things abroad, I think it's students I ought to go, and I don't know whether this is the way to handle it or not, but it ought to be handled some way, and I have to support it. But to leave the impression that I set up Texas Foundation, they're all my buddies now. Jaworski is the fellow that they used in the civil rights case because he was the best lawyer down there in New Orleans back in the early 61 or 2. That's where he came in. I've never appointed him attorney general or considered him for one second. He gets publicity that way. As Hughes was a district judge down there, swore me in because she was the one in Dallas. But first row we had in the White House with Bobby and I about Ms. Hughes. But anyway, they leave these implications, and I think we've got to really get at them and get the facts. So I would suggest you try to get this man to go and see what the correspondence, see what list he got in the White House, who gave it to him in the White House, when, anything they can give him about it. And before we talk to him, and I believe it'll ride through today because George Christian says that none of them asked him about it. That gives us till Monday. I think somebody ought to tell that Bendorf to get on his plane tomorrow and get back here. He's got a major problem for the company. I think the Republicans will start kicking off Monday that the White House is letting defense contracts and placing them around individual congressmen's districts.
Yeah. This is my feeling, Mr. President. That's why I wanted to try to stop it today, if you could, because I think you're going to get congressional statements on it very early. And if you don't stop it today in the press, then what ought to be done, it seems to me, is give some congressman a speech that he can make in reply the first time this comes up.
Yes, I think we ought to do that to George Mahon or somebody of that type.
Yeah.
But I don't see that, I don't believe Oberdorf's writing any more stories. He's done his. He's called and told him what he's done. So he's written it. Now how do we, by calling him, we just agitate him into another one, don't we? Particularly if we don't know the facts. We don't know who he talked to in the White House. We don't know what the White House gave him. We don't know what their file shows. Now, if their file shows that he got states of Pennsylvania and Ohio, both of which have Republican governors, both of which are in here agitating all the time for people to come that where they have unemployment.
Yeah.
And West Virginia and what's the other one? Pennsylvania, Ohio, West Virginia, there's
Tennessee.
One. Tennessee. So you got two Republican governors, two Democratic governors, two...